time for Top 5, a show where we create a list and then we tell it to you. This is Top 5.
Best intro ever.
Guys, this is why we do this. Excellence. Creating great content for you.
Everybody loves a list. And this week,
shows in and Steven has boiled it down to its essence, baby.
He knows what you want.
Everybody loves a list, and we know what you want. And
no flame at the beginning.
There has to be something that we always want, something that we are suckers for. Mm-hmm. That's this week's topic. Suckers. What do we mean by suckers? Things that no matter what, it's almost like we are going to be drawn into this. We're going to be wrapped up in this. We're going to go down the rabbit hole. We're going to do this no matter what because we love this thing so much. Now, this isn't like the, you know, we did a top five years ago about the top five things that we're embarrassed about, but we love anyway. I forget what that one was about.
Guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasures. That's what this is. Not guilty pleasures. These are things that we have somewhat of an addiction to that we can't stay away from. I don't know. Maybe it'll be clear as we get into these. My number five. My number five is The Rockford Files. If I even catch 10 seconds of that show on. Or if I hear someone mention on a show, like there was Scott Kurtz was on a podcast not too long ago, and he mentioned The Rockford Files and how he was watching it on Netflix. And by God, within an hour, I was sitting down watching The Rockford Files on Netflix. I just love that show so much. I love the time period. I love the stories. I love the characterization. I am a sucker for The Rockford Files. And every time I go down that road, I'll eventually end up on the internet looking up the old James Garner Rockford Files ad from the Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. I used to have that as a backdrop. I double check and make sure that the Rockford Files is my ringtone on my cell phone.
Nice.
Anytime I see a gold Corvette, or not a Corvette, Firebird, sorry, I start to get this itching to watch some Jim Rockford. So that is my number five. I'm a total sucker for anything having to do with the Rockford Files. Even if I hear like Sergeant Becker was in The Sopranos, I start to go, oh my God, I think I better start watching The Sopranos. Or I hear that Angel is in this show. What's his name? Angel Martin is, I think his last name. I forget it. But, I'll say, ooh, I got to give a pause for just a moment. And maybe think about watching that movie or show because it has somebody related to what was in The Rockford Files. So that is my number five thing that I'm a sucker for. Anytime The Rockford Files comes up, I will have a long, in-depth discussion with you about that. Zach, what do you have for your number five?
My number five is also a form of media.
Yes.
But it's kind of more varied.
Is it the Major Spoilers podcast?
No, it is not, sadly. You think it would be. Mine is
I know
not
you're a sucker
one,
for everything we do.
You know. Like a Tootsie Pop. It's not just one show. It is an actor's work.
Ah.
I'm a really big sucker for Will Ferrell movies.
Oh, so no matter what, no matter how good or bad that movie is, you have to sit down to watch a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, if it, like when when I used to have cable, if we saw anything was on, Anchorman.
Elf.
Elf, we watched probably five times during the Christmas
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is honestly one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Talladega Nights.
I almost peed myself watching that. Semi-pro. I wasn't a fan of the first time I watched it. The more I watch it, it is freaking hilarious.
Reruns of Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Anchorman 2.
I actually haven't seen Anchorman 2 yet.
Did they make a Spartans movie?
No, they didn't.
They should have.
Yeah, that would
have
been funny. I just, and anything he actually does, like Funny or Die, his stuff on Funny or Die is really good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a co-founder of Funny or Die.
It's his baby.
I love it when Will Ferrell punches out the alien and yells, "Welcome to Earth!"
this could also almost go with, like Seth Rogen also.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll watch anything with Seth Rogen in it.
We'll save that for your number four, dude.
Oh, dang! But I really, really, like, Will Ferrell.
Watch his old, what was it, Miller commercials that he did? What were those ones that he did where he's like, I think they were Miller Light commercials
or
something.
No, he did.
Schlitz malt liquor.
He did a beer, like some really small time beer company, and they just ran it on local state. Like it wasn't a national thing. He put like ads on for a local station to do it, like during the Super Bowl or something weird.
But they went viral. They went big in a big way. Yeah. Okay.
And they did those like minivan commercials when Anchorman 2 was coming out, which was just really funny because Anchorman came out when I was
In high school?
In high school.
Yeah.
And we would watch Anchorman all the time. Just, we'd, I don't even know how many times we watched Anchorman when we were in high school. We just thought it was the funniest thing.
Okay.
And it honestly is. And then Step Brothers came out.
Yeah.
And we... like,
I haven't
we,
watched that
I,
one yet.
I quote that movie all the time.
I'm going to have to watch it now.
We'll do lines from that. If it's on TV, I'll watch it, which not as quite as funny on TV, of course.
Mm-hmm. I think it's on Hulu or Netflix
but him,
right now.
Him and John C. Reilly together are just fantastic.
All right. Yeah. So there's Zach's number five. Will Smith. I mean,
no,
Ferrell. Will I Am.
Yeah. It's the one where Will Ferrell is the last man alive fighting zombies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's they're vampires.
And then him and Will Ferrell dogs. Jr. in the future.
Yep.
That's a good one, too.
Matthew, what do you have for your number five?
And then there's that one where he teams up with, never mind, this joke is done. My number five actually dates back to my youth in the plains of Kansas. And I say that every episode, so it's kind of a catchphrase now. But we had a thing in those days called VHS. And you could go down by the river.
It's still a thing, VHS.
You could go down by the river, and there was a store where you could rent VHS tapes. And I was kind of a weird kid, so I liked the weird kind of horror-y movies. And one of the ones that I kept renting over and over and over was a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek.
I remember that.
Yeah, which is ostensibly a true story told in sort of a – it's not quite documentary style, but I remember that growing up. And ever since, occasionally I will get hooked on just that style, what's become known as the found footage genre of films. And some of them are awful. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are terrible. But, you know, when the Blair Witch Project came out in 99, I was immediately on board. Loved that. I was totally sold on that. And I watched that with Widget a couple of weeks ago. And we're watching and we're watching. And she's like, are they going to see a witch or what? And I'm like, yeah, just watch the movie. She's like, no. And totally teenagered her way off to, you know.
So you made her watch Paranormal Activity 27.
We watched all of the Paranormal Activities, actually, together. And these are films that I'm not entirely comfortable with her ever seeing by herself. But watching them with me...
Oh, she's a teenager. She'll be seeing a lot of movies without you.
But this is the thing. She's only 10. Even Cloverfield, God love it. Cloverfield tries so hard. And tries so hard and... fails so hard.
It's, you know, we were talking in Zach on Film, mm-hmm. or the upcoming Zach on Film, mm-hmm. the one that we're going to do this week on Rear Window.
Yes.
We were talking about how occasionally directors will totally slip up and you'll go, if this is a found footage shot of movie, how did this shot get
in there? Yeah, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, in Cloverfield and movies like Chronicle, that the same thing happens a lot.
Yeah, Cloverfield is one where they have to stretch it too hard. I saw Wreck, R-E-C, which was about cursed videotapes.
One from Norway or something.
I don't remember where it's from. It's like Norway or Italy or something. But then there's also Wreck 2, which was terrible.
Ooh, have you watched Troll Hunter? You should watch Troll Hunter.
I'll think about it.
Watch the Swedish Troll Hunter. It's really good. Or maybe that one's Norwegian.
The one that was probably the most terrifying experience of my life is somebody gave me a bootleg copy of a movie called The Poughkeepsie Tapes, which apparently was never released as a movie. This is what you get when you go to Planet Comic-Con, the guy who sells you the DVDs of like the never released Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie and, you know, the comic relief thing with the Doctor Who. And I'm thinking, okay, wait, no. And then later I realize these are illegal. But I watched The Poughkeepsie Tapes and oh my God.
That's the one at the newsroom, the TV station at the end, the guy's screaming and then everything goes black.
No, that's a Ghost Watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the Poughkeepsie Tapes is about a serial killer, but God, don't watch it. Do not.
I will not.
I enjoyed it, but do not watch it.
So your number five is found footage.
My number five is found footage. The found footage genre. But if one pops up, I mean, I watched Blair Witch 4 or 5 times this month because it's in rotation on Showtime or Epix. And whenever I hit it, I stop and I watch, sit there and I watch Heather cry and I watch Mike curse and I watch, you know, that terrible ending that, God love it, just creeps me to this very day. That ending was worth the 2 hours of whiplash and nausea for me. Just that little You know, at the end of Perry Mason, when the guy takes the little hammer and goes, ding, that's what that shot was for that movie. God, what an ending.
Yeah, cool.
Found footage.
All right, my number four is my wife and I, when she gets a like an afternoon out, she'll like, hey, have you eaten lunch yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. And so we've got like three rotations that we go to. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Gela's, which has just kind of a good old fashioned type food. Right. Yeah,
that's a good way to describe it.
Then there is the sushi place. Mm-hmm. And my number one pick is generally sushi. Mm-hmm. But then my wife will always somehow, some way just go, you know, there are a couple barbecue establishments in this town, or we could, you know, there's these barbecue trucks that drive around mm-hmm. town. And I'm like, yep, screw the sushi. We're going to go eat barbecue. And my favorite kind of barbecue is anything having to do with spicy or hot sauce. So mm-hmm. pulled pork, the hot links, everything that's barbecue. I mean, I love pizza, but if you said, Steven, would you rather have a pulled pork sandwich or a slice of pepperoni pizza? I'm going to go, barbecue. Is there coleslaw on top of that pork sandwich? Yes. Okay, pork sandwich then.
So... Little local fact. Where were you going to for your barbecue?
We've probably been everywhere. Yeah. We haven't been to all the trucks. I think there's one truck we haven't been. There's one truck we haven't been to, but that new one down on Main Street.
TK's.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. My God, that's so good.
I mean, I like spicy barbecue, and they got spicy barbecue.
Have you had their Barfait Burger?
No, I have not.
It is pulled pork.
Uh huh.
With baked beans.
Yeah.
Cheesy potatoes.
Uh huh.
And coleslaw.
Uh huh.
In between two buns.
Ooh, I may have to try that.
And so they call it a barfait.
It's called a barfait.
But here's my favorite. Of all the barbecues, mm-hmm. here's my favorite. Just like it's like a spicy buffalo barbecue sauce,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's on chicken.
Okay.
And that chicken mm-hmm. was hot once, but now it has been sitting in my refrigerator for at least 24 hours. And you eat that cold barbecue chicken,
mm-hmm.
and it is the world.
It'll burn your face off.
Now, decades ago, when I was in college, KFC used to have this barbecue chicken, and I would purposefully go and buy a bucket of it, which is more than any young 135-pound Steven should be eating.
Don't need that.
But I would buy it intentionally because I would put it in my refrigerator and then come home at night and have a piece or two of that yummy chicken
mm-hmm.
with the barbecue sauce. And then I put it back next day, eat for a week on that bucket of chicken. And the best part was, one summer it was incredibly hot, and I lived in a little stuffy, non-air-conditioned apartment. And I would come home at the end of the day, I may have told this story before, so hot in my apartment, I'd just strip off my pants, grab the barbecue chicken, go into the living room, turn on a fan on high, sit in front of that fan with the air blowing on me and eat my barbecue chicken with barbecue sauce all over my face.
And cry of happiness. Like, this is life.
And I know at one point,
what is good in life?
At least twice, people that I knew came and knocked on my door, or semi-knew, came and knocked on my door when I'm in my underwear eating barbecue chicken with it all over my face going, hey, what's going on? How you doing? But I am a sucker for anything barbecue related. And if you're trying to get out of some rut and try something different, just suggest to me barbecue and I'll be like, yep, we're going to barbecue. And I love sushi. I love pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love my steak, a good steak from Gela's.
Oh, yeah.
But if you said, Steven, we're going to go eat barbecue, done, sold. My number four, barbecue anything, but especially spicy barbecue. But if you have a good thick barbecue sauce on cold chicken, mm-hmm. sign me up.
I would really like if I could like take TK's food
into
Gela's so I could have a beer.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was driving downtown this morning
mm-hmm.
and I smelled, you know, they had the fires going to get everything smoked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seriously thinking that I should have stopped and ordered something for dinner tonight for my wife and I, because that stuff is good.
Good,
I may surprise her this week.
Hey,
so my wife, if you're listening to this podcast, she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh.
She doesn't listen to any
jokes
of our
podcasts.
Jokes on nobody. Zach, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is something I enjoy, and I find myself to be, I like to say I'm a connoisseur. It's probably not even close to true. I find things I like, and then, but I will go out of my way to go eat at a restaurant that has this, to go to the store and buy it, to drive to my parents' house to have my dad's fresh stuff, and that is chips and salsa.
Yep.
Or just dips in general.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a get together at my now in-laws for last Christmas, and we called it Dipmas because it was just dips during Christmas.
That's actually kind of a good way to do a holiday meal, just finger food it your way.
Yeah. I love chips and salsa.
So what do you like more? Do you like salsa, or do you like a cheese dip, or do you like a guac, or do you like a...
If I had to only choose one, it would be salsa.
Okay.
But my primary choice would be salsa and guac.
Yeah.
I like guac and salsa together.
Do you load up with the cilantro or no the cilantro?
Very much pro cilantro. It gives it a nice... I like the smell of cilantro.
Yeah, it's just okay for me.
I really dig it. But that's also because my dad made homemade salsa when I was in high school and always used cilantro.
Yeah.
It's always had that smell.
You have to throw a little bit in there.
Yeah, but we use a lot. It's nice.
Now, what about... you always have to make it fresh? Or do you like the Pace Picante or the Tostitos brand salsa stuff?
I'm fine with either. I'm fine with either. I really dig fresh stuff, but there is some really good canned stuff that I found that I really enjoy.
Have you gone down the odd aisle at the grocery store where they have all the non-brand stuff, you know, the small mom and pop stuff and sampled all those different kinds of salsas?
Yeah, I found one at Dillon's that is like made in Denver. It's like with all the organic stuff.
There is really good. Which kind is that?
I don't remember.
At one point, it's all natural, this dip, but it's a black bean salsa dip.
Oh,
all natural food, but it is so good and so thick. But it's not like those little tin cans of bean dip that you get.
Yeah.
I mean, this has got some substance to it, but you can scoop it up. But I mean, you'll sit down. It's got a nice spice to it, but you'll sit down and devour that whole jar before you realize oh, that's a whole thing of bean dip.
Yeah,
Then for the rest of the night, you don't have to turn the heater on.
I think my favorite dip maker went out of business. I used to be able to buy, it was black bean, cactus, and cheese dip. And oh my God, it was good.
Interesting.
I think they have it at the Walmart, Zach. Look for it. It's called a black bean dip.
Yeah.
Bart's black bean dip or something like that. So
I made a lot of guac in the springtime towards midsummer.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty simple, it was like Alton Brown's, like super simple guac, whatever. I really enjoyed it. I really got into guac.
Yeah.
Guac's awesome.
Yeah.
I eat chips and salsa all the time. It is my favorite. We have, we get On the Border chips, which are good. The purple bag, because it's nice and thin and crispy. One like Dillon's is always sold out. Oh, do you?
I like a thick chip.
Thick or nice. But I really like... Well, it just depends. Like, it always depends where
I know
I
what
go.
I'm getting you for. Man, I know what I should have gotten you now for your wedding gift.
What's that?
A big old salsa set.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you probably nobody ever got you like a bowl, bowl with salsa.
I was
going to
buy some the other night, man, but I didn't.
Well, now I know what you're getting for Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder. You know what? Stuff. I bet you there is a Salsa of the Month Club.
Oh, no way.
But salsa is my favorite thing. If we're going to go out in a restaurant, I'd rather probably just go to a Mexican restaurant because I love chips and salsa, and I'll gorge myself on that. So now when I go, I find like the smallest, lightest meal because I'm going to eat like a whole thing of chips and salsa by myself. So I'll get like a taco. One of my favorite Mexican restaurants in Hays does shrimp tacos. You get two of them.
Ew.
It's not very much.
At like Gela's?
No, not a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Cancun.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee Rules used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Very good restaurant.
Yeah, it is.
They have shrimp tacos. It's very small, but it allows you to eat a lot of their chips and salsa, which is not bad.
No, it's not. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
They actually do have a Salsa of the Month Club.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Get two jars of salsa a month.
Two?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Gourmet salsas. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to help me pay for Zach's Christmas gift, use the Amazon link over at majorspoilers.com.
I was talking about salsa for 10 minutes.
Matthew, what do you have? Mine was barbecue. Zach's was salsa. What do you have for your number four, Matthew?
Mine was barbecued salsa. No, my number four is not food. And in fact, as the fattest guy on the show, I find it funny that I'm the only one who doesn't have food on the list. My number four actually struck me the other day, and we've talked about this. We've touched on it in previous shows, but I sat down for the first time and decided that I was going to sit and watch a movie by a director that I had really enjoyed her work before, featuring two actors that I just flat out love. And, you know, Sofia Coppola had done The Virgin Suicides in like 1990. Mm-hmm. Love that movie. Loved it. That is such a great movie. It makes you like Kirsten Dunst, who is a robot. And so I sat down and I watched Lost in Translation.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
And I died. The end. And it made me realize how much I love a good romance, especially a doomed romance in some ways. But I just, that whole movie is painful to watch because, first of all, the main characters are clearly in the midst of this wonderful courtship while married and, you know, unwilling or unlikely to do anything about it. But the whole movie is just about this wonderful connection and their romance and their moment. And when they get to the end, and I actually did my regular looking around thing like it was a Zach on film. We get to the end. You know how that at the end he kisses her?
Yes, or says something in her ear.
Not in the script. The thing that's why, that's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Is in the script. The kiss was an ad lib by the actors on the scene because they felt like it made sense for their characters to kiss and then never see each other ever again. And then he whispers something in her ear. The kiss was not there. And I'm like, that was such a great decision. And I'm, you know, I'm watching this movie and I'm so.
So are you a sucker for romance movies or doomed romance movies? Okay. So
romance movies, specifically romance stories.
You know, they're making a sequel to Say Anything.
No, they're not.
That's TV series. Sorry.
Yep. No, they're not.
Yep. Doesn't star.
Nope.
Cusack or
it's above head.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
I don't know. It seems not to be gonna like it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Even when I was in high school, my mother had tons of crap books in the house. And I remember really liking, you remember the Flowers in the Attic books?
Yeah.
I liked those books.
Those were romance terrible. Books? I never read them. I didn't know they were romance books. They were horror gothic, books or something.
They were gothic incest romance books, and I think that counts. But yeah, for me, it's just, I don't know. It's something about just her.
Did you ever read those torn bodice, bare-chested men books, the Harlequin novels?
I have.
Okay.
In my history, but it's not something that I read normally. But like I said, I saw her a month or two ago on Zach's recommendation.
That was a good movie, wasn't it?
Such a good movie.
It's not a romance movie. It's a sci-fi movie disguised as a romance movie.
It is a romance movie in the same way that The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a kung fu movie. And that really works for me. It just ripped my guts out. Mm. Same actors, by the way. You know, the thing that I find most terrifying, though, is I have been pretty much happily married since the Clinton administration, and I still apparently have the soul of a 16-year-old girl. I'm just like, there was an episode of My Little Pony where, like, Pinkie Pie gets a boyfriend. Sold, American. That's my number four, romance stories, which may or may not, but probably will be doomed.
My number three is an expensive one, because whenever I know that new sets are available, I will just go and buy everything all at once. And then I will end up looking around and buying even more. I love Lego. I have a closet that is at least, 10 feet by 4 feet stuffed with Lego.
I actually just looked in there before we started recording tonight.
Yeah, did you see those three sets?
I don't know what three sets you're talking about, because I saw a mountain of sets in the middle of the room.
God, I have too many of them.
Did you see the guy who used to be on the show with us who wasn't called
I love Lego. I love building them. I love going into imagination land with them. I like the fact that you can just create these miniaturized versions of something, and you can kind of feel like you're God and building and creating and telling stories with them. And I just love Lego so much. And I'm glad that both of my kids love Lego. Now, my oldest, he likes Lego. He likes following the directions and putting them together and building what's there. And sometimes he'll get into a crazy mode where he will just build something out of his imagination. Mm. Like he built a jetpack the other day out of Lego and was flying around the house with him. But my youngest, you got to come over sometime, Zach. And the thing is, he goes off into the playroom and he'll play by himself. Mm-hmm. But if you just are real quiet and you don't pay any attention and don't call out that you're paying attention to him, he will tell the most fascinating stories where his little Lego Hulk and his Iron Man and his Batman, they're having a story and they're having interactions and they are deep and in depth. And he's using language and phrasing that it's like, wow, this is incredible that you're telling these stories. And then he will build things. Mm-hmm. He just takes these Duplo blocks and puts them together and then comes and shows you, goes, look at my giant monster car, Dad. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. So Lego is my number three, and I'm a sucker for them. I mean, I can't buy anything and everything because there is a cost issue. But man, when it comes, like, when I hear that there is a new set available, I am on that Lego store entering my VIP membership code. Mm-hmm. And I don't sit there and go, well, I'm going to buy this one this month and this one this month and this one this month. It's like, scoop them off the virtual shelf and dump them into my virtual cart. And there have been times where I have spent up to $2,000 in Lego in one go. Yeah, that's how bad it is when it comes to Lego. And that's why there's a big pile of them sitting in that room in there. So my number three, things that I'm a sucker for, Lego, all the time. In fact, one point, we went so crazy that we were buying display things that they have at toy stores. Like, a toy store will go out of business, and they have these, like, I don't know, 10 times, 11 times, they're about 2 feet tall, 2.5 feet tall minifigures that were actual Lego displays in toy stores. We own, like, three of them.
Nice.
They had these giant Lego blocks that they show for display purposes. We have at least a dozen of them. Little Lego, you know, the little Lego displays that they have in the store where they show you the setup and they're that big display case. You push buttons, they light up. We have at least two of those.
Oh, man.
Yes. Well, my wife finally had to say, we're not buying any more of those. But I'm still buying the sets. So Lego, my number three. Lego, my number three, Zach. And tell me your number three.
My number three.
Do they not do Lego My Ego anymore?
No, they do.
Okay.
At least, I mean, all the cool people do.
All right. So you don't?
No. No. I go,
someone... Because Matthew got the joke, and I thought maybe it was a joke that's too far...
Oh, no. But, yeah, when I go shop for my Ego waffles, someone will be trying to take them. I go, hey, please hand back those
God waffles. Damn it, Zach! Just stop.
Kindly, dear sir, hand my Ego, my fine crispy toaster treat, please.
And in vain of that great humor that I just gifted to everyone with this playing in their ears, my number three is one of the lowest forms of humor possible.
Okay.
I am a sucker.
Yeah.
For montages on America's Funniest Home Videos of this one thing YouTube compilations of this one thing. And that's getting hit in the nuts. There's something, it's like a feeling of camaraderie, like, God, that had to hurt.
So when you're on YouTube, will you then go and look for other, you know, if at the end of the YouTube video it says, here's other videos of guys getting hit in the junk, you'll start clicking on those?
Yeah.
I
don't Google nut shots.
Okay. Let me but if you see one, if one pops up in your Facebook feed.
Yeah, I'm scared of what Google will bring up. YouTube's pretty okay. You'll get the right thing. Compilation videos in general of when people trip. They just fall.
Oh, man, there's one on Facebook today.
They slide, and something comes out underneath them. I saw a GIF of a kid testing a slide.
Yeah.
I think it was in China. It was like a water park. And it was too steep, and the humps were too big. He gets about, like, two, and you see him go up in the air.
Oh, he launches.
And then he hits, and he, like, lands on the side, and then he bounces the other side.
Oh,
and, like,
man. Hits
him, and he, like, straddles a thing. And I was just laughing.
There's
it's
one.
Horrible.
The compilation I saw today was people on the treadmill falling down and getting shot across the room.
Great stuff. Great
stuff. Go see it. It's in the Facebook feed right now.
I love things like that. Nut shots are great, especially when people are on skateboards.
Yeah.
Like, that's guaranteed goodness right there. There's the one where a kid does a trick and, like, it breaks the skateboard, and then, or it flips up on end and just racks him.
Zach, that's a painful one, but it's your number three.
Yes.
The nut shot.
Good stuff.
All right. Matthew, what do you have for your
sucker
number three?
Sucker for a good nut shot.
I'm not even... Yeah. My number three, it should be no surprise. We often mention on this particular show, and more often on our other shows, that I'm kind of the comic book guy. But when I read comic books, there's one thing that I like more than other things in many cases.
Batman?
No,
that's you. That's you. When I was very young, some of the first comics that I ever read featured the
Chick
Legion
Tracks?
Of Superheroes.
Oh.
And shut up. I'm talking here. And some of them featured the Avengers, and some of them featured the Forever People. And I am a sucker for a superhero team.
Yeah, yeah.
The bigger the team, the better. And it gets to the point where, you know, at one point, I think the Legion of Superheroes had 25 or 30 active members. And, you know, one of my favorite television shows of recent vintage was the Japanese Gokaiger, Kaizoku Sentai Gokaiger.
Yeah. They had like 500 200 Power Rangers.
200 Power Rangers running around. And there's this wonderful, just this huge action sequence where they're all in action and they start paging, you know, panning across the screen, and you see guys everywhere and some guys flying in and a girl with a sword and the fighty and the blast and the thing. And then,
you know, I got a question about that. There's a question I've always wanted to ask you about that.
Okay.
So when it's time to form the giant robot, do they have like 10 different robots, or is there like 35. one guy is the pinky and the other guy's the thumb?
35.
That means some guy has to be the
nuts.
In the big final battle sequence, they had 35 giant robots.
Wow. Okay. I just, that was my question. You have answered it.
35. Well, technically 33 giant robots and two flying fortress bases. But, you know, why are you going to argue? Because as we've mentioned before, the first giant robot in Super Sentai actually belonged to Spider-Man.
Yep.
But a superhero team, the bigger, the better. The Avengers, great movie. Iron Man, Thor, you put that Avengers movie together, sold. Guardians of the Galaxy, love that movie. The Legion of Superheroes cartoon, hey, I'm good. Sailor Moon. Never watched it.
What about the Digimons and the Pokemons?
That's not a superhero or a team.
They're a team of kids team working
Rocket.
Together.
No,
Team Rocket? Yeah, there you go.
No, that's a duo. You can call yourself a team all you want, but my cat had kittens in the oven. That doesn't make them biscuits. Here's the thing that you need for a good superhero
team. Cats in the
oven
is my new euphemism for being pregnant.
You need
cats in the oven, Zach?
At least three guys.
Oh, okay.
And or girls to be a superhero team. Even the Fantastic Four. You know, if I watch that Fantastic Four movie from 2005, first of all, I'm secretly in love with the actress who plays Alicia Masters. But second of all, just those four guys, even though one of them is wooden and one of them is awful.
No, one of them is rock and the other one's fire.
No, the guy playing Mr. Fantastic is wooden.
He's rubber.
Jessica Alba is awful.
She's
Captain
invisible.
America is the Human Torch. And then Michael Chiklis, the commish, makes a really good thing. But I love a superhero team because you have that moment where guys who aren't as powerful as, say, Superman team up, and then you got four guys all together and then 10 guys all together, and they're greater than the sum of their parts. It makes you feel like you belong. It's like Bouncing Boy. Bouncing Boy in the Legion of Superheroes contributes whatever he can. And this, the Legion of Superheroes, his friends are Superboy and Girl Superboy and another Superboy and yet another Superboy. And they all look at Bouncing Boy as a colleague and a friend and an equal. Maybe not an equal, but at least another guy in a costume. And that's why, my number three, I am a sucker for a superhero team.
Cool. And my number two, you wouldn't think that I would be into this as much as I am into this.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Nut shots?
No.
That conversation went weird places.
No. I am a sucker for bluegrass cover music.
Oh, really?
Yes. And just generally blue. I can get into bluegrass music, but if you tell me that there is a bluegrass cover song of
Baby Got Back
or Put a Ring on It. Or what was it this weekend I was listening to? Just anything, really. Oh, a Wrecking Ball I heard in bluegrass.
Very good.
Man of Constant Sorrow.
Well, that's already bluegrass, but see, that's not a cover song. I'm talking about like popular music in
pop
one
music
genre
as
being turned into bluegrass song.
Pop Goes Blue.
Pop Goes Blue. Yeah, I mean, there's...
Dixie.
Yes, exactly. Just, I mean... So every once in a while, we're friends with Brian Ibbett, who does the Coverville song. Every once in a while, he'll throw in some bluegrass cover music. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I'll just be like, hey, Brian, can you recommend, have there ever been a bluegrass song of the Doctor Who theme song? And he'll go, well, yes, Steven, here you go. And he'll send it my way. And I'll be going, ah! But here's how bad it is. I was listening to the Nerdist the other day, mm-hmm. and Chris Hardwick was talking with someone, and he just mentioned that he loved bluegrass cover songs. And I was like, oh, yeah, I also love bluegrass cover songs. It's time to go searching for bluegrass mm-hmm. cover songs music. And my favorite one by far is the Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you not heard that one? And, oh, my God. There's a 14-minute version of the song, which is freaking awesome as a bluegrass song.
Okay.
And so it's just like I just went into this hole for like literally 4 hours of going on YouTube, finding the greatest bluegrass music, buying all these albums on iTunes, just listening and absorbing. And the next thing I know, it's like 1 a.m. I'm like, I feel like someone who's come off of a drug. And it's just like, what happened? What happened to those last 4 hours of my life? And I was like, oh, yeah, great bluegrass music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, because normally you wouldn't think that I would be a bluegrass fan. But there is something about bluegrass cover songs that do it for me every time. Even if it's not a really good rendition of a popular song in a bluegrass style, I'm still all over it. And I will lose hours just going into it. And I got to be real careful because I got shows to edit tonight and work to do tomorrow. And I don't want to go back down that hole very soon. So I'm holding myself back because bluegrass cover music just does it for me every time. I am a sucker for that. That is my number two. What is your number two, Zach?
My number two is a form of storytelling that I really enjoy, and that is like documentary style storytelling. And it doesn't really matter what the medium is. I really like nonfiction books. I quite enjoy just a good documentary.
Yes.
On Netflix. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy them very much. Or This American Life, Radiolab,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Podcast. They just started a new one called Serial. That I'm really into.
What's that one about?
One of the reporters from This American Life is doing a whole season of shows. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be, about this one murder. Like, so usually, like, This American Life, it would be like she does it like for one episode, but this is multiple episodes covering this one incident a couple years ago, which they have the first two episodes out now. I haven't listened to all of them yet, but just anything like that I find interesting. I would loosely throw kind of interview stuff in there too, just because I like a good interview style podcast or news article or anything like that. Most days I'd actually rather watch a documentary than some fiction film. It's just really, I find a good one and I'll like watch, all day I'll just watch documentaries if I have a day off.
Everybody has been telling me that there is a brand new documentary on Netflix about 3D printing. And
really?
I haven't been able to find it yet. So somebody who's out there knows what I'm talking about. Send me that because I'm super interested in it. And everybody says it's fantastic.
Awesome.
So I'm going to look for that. But yeah.
I'm always looking in the documentary column on Netflix and iTunes to see what is new or
Zach.
Yes.
Documentary.
What am I saying?
Documentary. You're putting the accent on the wrong syllable.
That's okay. Documentary is fine.
I just like to make fun of you.
Ooh, have you seen Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yes.
That's a fantastic. Oh, so have you seen Sommelier?
No.
It's about these guys who are trying to become sommeliers. And
the wine testers.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
You got to watch that one. That one's really good.
I watched the one about how China is becoming a bit bigger wine producer than like Italy and
interesting.
Wine.
You got to watch Sommelier. That one's really good.
I actually watched the Romney documentary a couple weeks ago where they just follow him through both presidential campaigns. It was absolutely awesome.
Watch a band called Death.
A band. I have not watched that yet. That's
that one's
the
good.
One,
Scott Mosier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did that one.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's about the first black punk band in Detroit.
Really?
Black punk.
That's interesting.
Black punk rockers.
Okay. What did I just watch? Hold on, I got to type it in.
Watch Jedi Junkies. Watch Magic Camp was okay.
Particle Fever is all about the Higgs boson and the Particle Collider over there, the Hadron Particle Collider over there in Europe. Fantastic.
I am about to watch Supermensch, which is about this guy who was basically the producer for all these super bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mike Myers is the producer on that.
Okay.
Tim's Vermeer, if you have not watched that one, it is fantastic.
Oh, no, I have. That is fantastic. I watched one called Mistaken for Strangers, who follows a brother on tour.
Oh, yeah.
With his brother who's a lead singer in a band I can't remember right now that's very popular. And that one is so good. It actually, I couldn't tell if it was scripted at some points. Like, it's so interesting and so revealing.
Is that a Sundance winner?
Possibly. I don't remember.
Have you watched The Institute yet? It's just really crazy. It's you don't know
the
if it's
about the weird cult thing in San Francisco or LA or something.
Yes.
No, I haven't watched
it. It's hard to tell if it's a documentary or if it's a joke.
Fake. Yeah.
Or if it's a fake, if it's a documentary about a fake thing. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I love it. And I love podcasts like that also.
Yeah.
This American Life, I freaking love. Dang. Radiolab is probably one of the best produced shows.
It is. It is so,
it's so good.
It is so good. Does that air on NPR or anything? Or is
it
just
on NPR?
Man, the one that they had most recently on the autistic kid.
Yes.
Oh, man. I was crying just listening to that one.
Super good.
You shouldn't be crying while you're walking through the grocery store.
No, but that's, what is this, number two?
Yeah, that's number
two. That's my number two. Documentaries.
There you go. I'll
documentary style storytelling.
Matthew, what do you have for your number two?
My number two has also come up once or twice in previous recordings of the show, but I think we really need to touch on it here because, again, something that really sticks with you, something that you're kind of, obsessed with that you can't walk away from, that you're a sucker for, is also something that will irritate your kids. And that's why my number two is the original black and white run of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Because it drives Widget nuts. And even the worst episode of The Twilight Zone, which, by the way, for those of you paying attention, there are 156 episodes of the original Twilight Zone. Worst is actually a tie between season 5, Come Wander With Me, and From Agnes With Love, which may have been season 3. I don't know. It's got Wally Cox in the main thing. It's a terrible, terrible episode. Not worth the time. But even those worst terrible episodes, I will sit and I will watch. And in my DVR list at the very bottom, you know how you have the thing where it ranks what to record and when?
Right.
It shows at the bottom it will record if there's nothing else on. I have a standing order to record and keep one episode of The Twilight Zone on tap at all times because they air like once a week on Sci-Fi and maybe on the Chiller Network. But at any given time, I can go in and watch just kind of a random episode. And sometimes you get really lucky and it's a great one, like The Invaders or The Four of Us Are Dying. And sometimes it's a kind of okay one, like Third from the Sun, where you're just like, oh, okay, I can totally do it with that. And then sometimes it's like The Fear and you're just like, God, why am I watching this? But I still watch. I still sit and I watch the whole episode. You know, whether it stars Lee Marvin or whether it stars, James McSnott.
Lee Merriweather. Oh.
Yeah. There's one with Charles Bronson and Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. The only two people who appear in the episode are Charles Bronson and Samantha from Bewitched. And oh my God, it's such a wonderful episode. It takes place in the near future after a nuclear war. And she may be the last living Russian, and he may be the last living American. But
is it called Death Bewished?
No, it's called Two. But well played. Well played indeed. A jackass. For no selling, my number two. One of the greatest series in television history, Rod Serling's The Twilight Zone.
So, my number one, Zach, I will agree with you. I will start to go down a documentary hole or a documentary hole because I do love them. And I do have a list of them here. And I did find the 3D printing one. It's called Print the Legend.
Ooh.
So go check that out. But yeah, I've got a lot of my movies that I have. I have the most in action adventure, second most in documentary.
Mm.
But if you had to narrow a genre down so super specific, that no matter what, if you tell me, doesn't matter if it's a book, if it's a radio play, if it is a podcast, if it's a TV show, if it is a movie, whatever, doesn't matter how bad it is. I'm always hoping that it's good, but I am a sucker for time travel stories.
Ooh.
Anything having to do with time travel. I'm talking about that class project, or what was it? Is that what it's called? Class project from the 80s? It's about this kid that finds an alien device that opens up a wormhole, and not technically a time travel story, although people from the past come to the present. My science project. Not my science project. I forget what it is. It's a terrible 80s movie. Mm-hmm. You cannot find it anywhere. I have not been able to find it anywhere. But I love that movie. You go and look. Primer is an excellent time travel movie.
Yes.
There is a new movie out that I was just like, this looks so stupid. But then I was like, wait a minute. This has got time travel in it? Damn it, I'm buying it. And it's called Premature. It's about this guy that every time he ejaculates, he starts his day over from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's about getting it right. And it's not, you know, in hindsight, it's not a terrible movie. It's kind of like, not even quite Doctor Who meets American Pie, but it's American Pie-ish type movie.
Yeah.
But because it's time travel, I got to watch it.
I got to watch it.
Mm. You know, that's why Doctor Who is a time travel story, but it's not one where people are trying to change their fate so much as they're having adventures in time. That's what Doctor Who is about. But man, anything having to do with time travel, I'm sold. Now, the only thing that what's that one about the guy and his father?
Looper.
No. Looper's good.
No, I like Looper.
The
guy and his father.
Yes, the kid, the guy, they have the ability to time travel.
Oh, about time.
About time. Man, you guys want to cry.
I still haven't watched it. I have it in my house.
You need to watch it. You and your wife need to watch this. And Matthew, you need to watch this movie too.
Okay.
You will cry at the end.
Great.
I mean, maybe not even the end. It's like 3/4 of the way in when you finally realize what the drawback of the time travel is.
Mm-hmm.
You start crying because you know how it's going to end. Oh. And I'm just sitting there in tears at the end of this movie. And that's a good movie. And even crappy movies like this Premature, I'll sit and watch it. Looper, I'll sit and watch it. I mean, just tell me it's about time travel and I'm there. That's how much I love time travel movies. And that's why time travel stories are the number one thing I'm a sucker for. Now, I haven't seen Time Traveler's Wife. Haven't seen that one yet.
No.
I'm a sucker for it.
You're going to have to, though.
I'm going to have to because it's got time travel involved in it. And it may have, and I don't care if the movie, and the other thing that it's on my kind of also-rans, but I'm starting to become a sucker for really crappy movies. Like Thursday night has become my crappy movie night to where if something has less than a 10% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and if it's available on iTunes, I'll probably watch it if it interests me. But a zero rated time travel movie, I'm there. That's my number one, time travel stories. Zach, awesome. What do you got?
That's awesome. My number one kind of goes back to a food theme, but it's really more than just the food. My number one is a very ambiguous statement called going to get a drink. I really enjoy
That is ambiguous.
Yeah. I like going to someone's house to get a drink, because what that really signifies to me is one, I get to be with someone besides myself.
Yeah.
Because at my job, I am away from everyone most of the day.
Yeah.
So I get very bored.
Yeah.
So I like opportunities to go hang out with people. We're usually not, for like a restaurant or something, we're fairly engaged in conversation. We're not watching something. We're not watching a movie or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to talk and enjoy, and I enjoy all those things. As I get older, I enjoy alcohol more and more each day. I think it's a great substance. I think we should all try it. Unless there are certain situations you shouldn't drink, obviously.
If you're under 21, for instance.
You're under 21.
Driving.
If you have medical conditions or anything like that, you're going to drive
soon. An addictive person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's not the best for everyone, but I personally enjoy it.
Yeah.
I give my thumbs up approval to it.
Yeah.
I that, at Nerdtacular. We went and got drinks all the time.
Yeah, we did.
Went and got some fans. We drank out on the porch all night.
Yeah.
It was great. We had a lot of great conversation.
Yes.
So that, to me, when
we smoked cigars.
Absolutely.
We threw up later. Oh, no.
That was just Steven.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I didn't either.
Oh, okay.
Someone probably did.
Somebody probably,
probably Rob. So to me, getting a drink is not, hey, let's just go drink and get schwasty and have a good time. That's just, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that also.
All right.
But, you know, hanging out with my friends, having some good conversation, and trying out new Gela's beer.
So you're going to have a drink later, Zach?
No, because I don't have any at the house, and everything's closed.
It's only 11 o'clock. It's
everything
not...
is closed in town.
No, it's not. It's Tuesday night. The bars are still open.
Oh, no, because I go home after this.
So you're not a sucker. So I'm offering to take you for a drink, and you're like, no, Steven. Oh, wait, you said friends. Okay, sorry.
If you want to go get a drink, you didn't see, are you going to go get a drink? Are we going to go get a drink? Sure, whatever.
Okay. I see how you are.
Yeah.
Matthew, what about you?
I think you guys should just go and have the drink. That's what I
got some Stone Brewery stuff in the other room.
Oh, okay.
It's good.
My number one is actually a really big one, and it kind of ties a little bit into my number three.
Is it the Big Bang?
No. It's something entirely different. What I really love, when I was a kid, I always wondered what would happen if Han Solo met up with Captain Kirk, or what would happen if Iron Man got a chance to hang out with Bouncing Boy. So I am, and probably will always be, a sucker for a big crossover story. And it doesn't even have to be comic book related crossovers. They did, actually, this one's only half comic book. They did a crossover between Marvel Comics and the soap opera The Guiding Light in the year like 2003.
Yeah.
I actually watched Guiding Light to see that. I love when you have a moment that doesn't make any sense. One of my favorite web comics is a crossover between Doctor Who, specifically his sixth incarnation, and Gem and the Holograms.
Man, that's outrageous.
I know, truly outrageous. I was talking with a friend the other day, and I told her about this, and her immediate response was, I refuse! I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, la 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 la, I'm not listening. So, the Doctor Who Gem crossover did not work with her. What was it that Dynamite did recently with Doc Savage, The Shadow, and The Avenger?
Yeah, Justice Inc.
Yeah, I love that. That's a big thing for me. And, you know, my formative years were all, you know, Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, Crisis on Infinite Earths. You get to the point where, you know, again, my favorite season of Super Sentai is the one where they all team up and they fight everybody in the world. Superman met Spider-Man in the 70s. Oh, that was awesome. I love it when you have characters crossing over. When you have like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where you have Mr. Hyde and Alan Quatermain and Mina Harker from Dracula, and all of those characters interacting in a world where all of their stories take place. That's so cool. It's like a bigger version of Number Three. It's the big giant superhero team, only in this one, Harry Potter is the Antichrist, and he fights Mary Poppins, which apparently happened at the Olympics in 2012, too, which I didn't understand. But I am a sucker for a big crossover. And honestly, I'm excited about the new Flash TV show, and I know that they're going to drag me.
There may be time travel involved in the new Flash TV series.
Yeah, yep. And I know they're going to drag me into watching Arrow.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Arrow. I've been avoiding watching Arrow. But I know that at some point they're going to drag me into watching Arrow because they're going to cross over with Flash. And my only hope is that I hate Flash. But I don't think that'll happen either. So did you ever read the Books of Magic, Steven?
The Books of Magic. I did for a while. Yes, we did that. In fact, on the Major Spoilers podcast, we read that four volume or six volume series. But yeah, I did read the series too.
The big crossover it was entirely in universe. These are characters who had, you know, been banging around interacting, but four characters from different places. And they're all in the big giant crossover and doing their all big giant crossover thing. I love that. I want more of that. I want to see Superman versus G.I. Joe. And I want Batman to end up, you know, making out with Witchblade.
So are you loving the Transformers versus G.I. Joe series that IDW Publishing has?
I have not read that, although I did read their Star Trek Doctor Who crossover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did I you read really
the Star Trek
that.
And Legion of Superheroes?
Yes, and I read Star
Trek,
Masks.
Star Trek Planet of the Apes?
No, I read
it come out until next
The
year.
Shadow Zorro, Green Hornet, and the Spider in Masks was okay for a while. Although the problem you have is when four of your main characters wear big slouch hats and your artist can't draw a big slouch hat, that's a problem. Rocketeer and the Spirit. You remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good one. I love those stories where you have the thing where, you know, Alf shows up and teams up with John Belushi. That's what I want the world to be like. Alf teaming up with John Belushi. And that's why my number one is the big giant crossover where Ren and Stimpy show up and team up with, I don't know, Dennis the Menace. Oh, Weapon Brown is another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where that post-apocalyptic story where all of the comic strip characters ever exist in one universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I do love that. I went and I bought a copy of that to have the other day.
Cool.
Such a good story.
All right, listeners, there you go. And hey, if you guys, I'm serious, I'm always having trouble tracking down really good time travel movies. Use the comments section over at majorspoilers.com or just send me an email, podcast@majorspoilers.com. Let me know of some really good or even not so good time travel stories.
Have you heard now, about this one? About
if it's called The Time Machine, I've seen both of those versions.
No, this one is about a kid who has to go back to the 50s and make sure his parents.
Yes, I've seen all the Back to the Futures.
No, it wasn't called Back to the Future. It was something else. And he has an older scientist friend with wild hair who's played by Reverend Jim from Taxi.
And yes, it is my science project.
No,
it's got
it's got
a 5.9 on the IMDb's.
Wow.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
5.9 out of what? It's a 5.9 out of 11.6.
5.9 out of 10. So I'm serious. I'm serious. If anyone has a good time travel movie, I'm all up for it. Good time travel movie, bad time travel movie, let me know. And you know what else you can do, mm-hmm. besides letting me know about good time travel movies? Head over to majorspoilers.com in the comments section for this episode. We want you to share your top five things that you are a sucker for. That's all you have to do. Top five things you're a sucker for and why you are a sucker for them. And everybody loves reading those. I know I love reading those. Matthew enjoys reading those. All of our listeners and readers around the world love reading those. Because obviously, everyone loves a list. And we will see you next time.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit Major Spoilers at majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.